Merry Christmas to you and to your family. I hope that you'll have a great week and that the Lord will bless and keep your family. Think about what I would want to give Seven Oaks for Christmas, and I was going to give $367,000, but the Lord beat me to that this year, right? We're really a blessed church. I say that jokingly, of course. We are truly a blessed church. And not just from that financial gift that we received this year. We've been blessed so many ways this year by the Lord. Chiefly His continued love and grace and blessings upon us. And the hope and faith that we have in Him. You know, have you ever been in Walmart? And this might have happened to you moms already this year. And your little kid says, throws the little toy into the basket and says, I want to get this. And mom says, wait a minute, you can't have that. It's too close to Christmas. Like that makes always a big difference in the mind of a kid, right? You know, you can't have it. It's too close to Christmas. You're going to be getting a lot of toys. And the child replies, no, but I want to get this for myself. You know, and kids already lots of times have a list of things they want to get for themselves if they don't get them this Christmas, and they just want to buy it for themselves. Well, I want you to know that these are some things I want to give to you, but these are things that I want to give myself that I need and I want this year as well. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll find what Paul wanted to give. Now, I don't think it was necessarily Christmas. It was Christmas. Now, I just saw my clicker. There it is. I don't think it was necessarily Christmas, but I do think that Paul wanted to give these things to the church at Philippi. And in verse number 8, verse number 9, first thing Paul wants to give them, and he prayed for them to have, is greater love. He said, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more. The idea of more and more is that it's going to be overflowing, that it's going to continue to improve and increase, that your love may abound more and more with all knowledge and all discernment. When you watch Christmas movies, I know some of you probably have already watched several Christmas movies. My mother-in-law's here. She probably got you all beat. She likes to watch Christmas movies. You know, a lot of Christmas movies have as their general theme the idea of loving one another, right? And a lot of times in those movies, you'll have something expressed along these lines. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all loved each other like this all year round? That this is the spirit of the Christmas season, they often say, is this idea of loving and caring for one another in peace. I remember, if you study, think about some different times during war, World War I or War II and things like that, Christmas was even often treated differently during war. It's a wonderful time of the year where we think about love. Paul says, I want you to live like that. I want your love to abound. I don't want it just to be a caring and giving season for one month of the year. But he says, I want it to abound more and more throughout all the year. Paul wants the Philippi church to increase in their love. When I think about the gifts that I would want to give to Seven Oaks and the gifts that I would want to give myself this Christmas, I want to have greater love. Paul says that this love should be informed and should be wise. You know, I think in our culture today, we often view love as just something that is solely emotional and only focused on giving. But Paul says that this love should be with knowledge and discernment. What he means by that is that it should be informed and it should be wise, that we ought to consider how we love. In chapter 3, 2 through 4, Paul will speak about those who were coming in and were teaching false things. And he calls them dogs. Who they look, and he says, look out for these evildoers. Look out for those who will mutilate the flesh. Paul understood that there were some people that needed to be rebuked. And there were some people that needed to have what we might call in our culture tough love. When I say we need to have more and more love, we also need to have a greater wisdom on how to apply love. And we live in a culture today that says, well, if two people love one another, no matter their sex, They can be of the same sex. If they love one another, it's all right for them to get married. The Bible says that we need to have knowledge and discernment when it comes to love. That we need to make sure that we love in truth, as Paul says to the Ephesian brother. He says, speak the truth in love. And John speaks in his epistles about walking in truth and love. And so our love needs to be informed. As parents, we're always struggling, aren't we? With how do we love, but not just give everything to our kids? We've got to love them, and a part of loving them is training them. And even as your children, maybe you have adult children, and maybe you struggle with always how to handle that. You need knowledge and discernment. And even as you think about, and the church deals with various situations, as we're trying to help people on a benevolent basis, or all kinds of ways, ministering to people, we're always trying to balance this. And so we need greater love. But I'll tell you what else we need. We need greater wisdom with love. In our marriages, we need to love one another more, but we need to love each other in a wiser and more informed way. It's not just always loving the way we want to be loved, but loving the best way to meet our spouse's needs and in a way that cares and cherishes them. You see, Paul says, I want you to have greater love, but he doesn't mean just go out and hug everybody. He doesn't mean just go out and give out $100 bills to everybody. He says, I want you to love in a way that is wise, in a way that's knowledgeable, in a way that's according to truth, in a way that represents God. That's tough. It's tough in our world we live in that is so emotionally based. It just says just that love is just solely that emotional feeling. We need love with discernment, love with wisdom. We need greater love for one another. But number two, Paul says to the Philippi church, he says, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Second thing that I would give you and I'd give myself this Christmas would be greater purity. This expression, approve what is excellent, involves the idea of determine what is essential, as one translator rendered it. The idea is to discern what is best. Discern what is best. To choose wisely. In Romans chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, to know His will and to approve what is excellent. We live in a world today where often the enemy of the best is the good. And then we can get caught up in doing all kinds of other things, but we're really neglecting what's best. And Paul here is saying that we need to focus on our purity and being blameless for Christ. In 2016, and for Christmas this year, I would give myself a pure heart. Seems that when we go to the nursing homes the first Tuesday of each month, and one of the songs in that little booklet we use there is Pure in Heart, O God. It's one of my favorite songs. I like that song because it is a prayer. It's a petition. Lord, help us to be pure in heart. Pure in heart. You know, if our hearts are pure, if we're sincere, if we have good motives and good intentions, and if we seek righteousness, then our actions, our tongue, the things we watch, the things we do, the people we run with, and the behaviors we participate in, they're going to be pure. They're going to be pure. You see, Paul is saying that we need greater purity, greater purity. This Christmas, I'll give us all greater purity. I have a picture on the screen of Christ clothing us in white robes. Clothing us in white robes. And that's the picture from Revelation and other passages in the Bible. But you know, all of us bring our sins. But Christ, through His grace, clothes us in purity. Greater purity in our life. But Paul says also that he would pray and ask that they would have greater fruits. Greater fruits. Look at verse number 11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. When you think about fruits.
And what Paul is probably thinking about here, he probably has in mind the same thing he spoke of
when he talked to the brethren of Galatia. When he says in Galatians chapter 5, what we commonly refer to as the fruit of the Spirit, he says in verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Lots of times at Christmas season, people give out fruit baskets, don't they? As an individual and as a church, what would our basket look like? In other words, if the fruits that we have produced this year, the good works we've done in the name of Christ, the good works we've done in our life with the church and in our individual lives, would there be any fruit in our basket? If our lives was a reflection of that in real fruit, would we have any fruit in our basket? You see, Paul is saying, I want you to increase and have greater fruits. When we think about fruits, we're thinking about the tangible things we've done in our lives. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul will speak of our salvation. And he says in verses 8 through 10, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that God depends upon faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings and become like Him in His death. Our fruit, in that fruit basket I was representing and speaking of a while ago, is not what saves us. What saves us is our faith and knowledge in Christ. And Paul says that he even counts all things as rubbish that he might know Christ. He talks about his faith and that he can have a righteousness through faith in Christ. But you know, we are expected, because we are saved, because of God's grace, we are expected to bear fruits. To bear fruits. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus would speak about bearing fruits. And he says in verse 17, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. For every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus you will, listen to this, you will recognize them by their fruits. You'll recognize them by their fruits. And we've done some good things in 2015. We've done some good things. We've done some outreach efforts with benevolent projects and service projects. We've done a lot of things with our youth. We've done Vacation Bible School. We've done Sunday School. We've done a lot of things. We've done a mission trip to El Salvador and a lot of mission efforts all throughout the globe and a mission trip to Atlanta. And we've done a lot of things. But what can we do now and in the future to bear greater fruits? To bear greater fruits. And let me put it a little more personal. What fruits have you borne? Jesus says you will be recognized by your fruit. When you go up to a banana tree, how do you know it's a banana tree? We were in the Philippines, or if you're in other countries that have that tropical climate, you'll see some trees up there. And what do you say pretty soon? Well, there's a banana tree. And you don't have to say, well, how did you know that was a banana tree? You figure it out pretty easily when you see all the bananas hanging off the tree, don't you? Well, there's an apple tree. How do you know that's an apple tree? Well, there's the apples hanging off of it. When people see you, do they say, there's a Christian? That person They love the Lord. How do you know they love the Lord? How do you know they're a Christian? Because of the fruit that's hanging off of them. What would I give you in 2015 Christmas?
What would I give myself? Greater fruits. We need to bear more fruit for the Lord. Now, we want more souls saved and more participation, more good deeds done. But Paul, the last thing Paul speaks of about for the Philippian brethren, and that I want to give you for Christmas, is greater hope. In verses 19 through 23, Paul says in this famous statement about his own life, he says, I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul was in prison, and he was awaiting his trial before Caesar. And he did not know if he was going to be put to death or if he was going to be spared. Paul says, I know that this is going to turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body. Paul says, I don't know what's going to happen, but my whole goal is that Christ will be magnified or honored in my body, that whether I live or whether I die, Christ will be magnified. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. What's Paul talking about here? He's talking about his hope. What would I give you? What would I give myself this Christmas? Greater hope. Greater hope. Do you have that kind of hope? I don't. The kind of hope that says whether I live or whether I die. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Being hard pressed between the two. The old adage of a rock in a hard place. He's in a bind, in a fix. He says he didn't know. And he goes on and says in the context that the only reason he really wants to stay is because he knows it will be a blessing to the Christians that he has helped convert, and it will encourage them and he can bear more fruit. But he says personally, Paul says, I'm ready to go. For depart and be with Christ is far better. That's hope, isn't it? That's hope. We need greater hope this Christmas. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it. Hope is about waiting. Rejoice in hope, Romans 12:12. Be patient in tribulation, rejoicing in hope. You know, we don't know what the future holds. I think it was Jerry in his prayer that spoke about the evil in this world and how God is still in control. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future in His hand. We have greater hope. I spoke of a friend who lost his 2-year-old son in the past few weeks. What a difficult Christmas. He needs hope, doesn't he? He has hope. How do you make it through situations like that without hope? Without hope. Maybe you are facing some medical situation or health issue. You need greater hope. Greater hope. Maybe your marriage has problems and you're looking at next year and wondering what's going to happen next year. And you need greater hope. Maybe you're feeling some type of persecution, or it may not be out and out as we would call persecution, but you're feeling pushed away and pulled away from the church by friends and family. You need greater hope. Maybe you're getting older, as someone said, and I hear often in different times, people, you know, getting old is tough. Getting old is difficult. Hey, the aged and the elderly need hope, don't they? Need greater hope. It can be depressing to get old. Discouraging. Need greater hope. What do we need? We need hope. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We believe, so we speak out. We hold on to hope. Paul says that we believe that he who raised Jesus will raise us. Will raise us. That's hope. You see, we need greater hope. You might probably don't know this. I had to look it up. But when you think about our major sporting leagues, the average length of time that a player is in them, in the NFL, it's around 3.3 years. For rookies that make it right in the NFL says it may be a little longer. But 3 to 4 years is the average player's length of time that they play in the NFL. The average player length of time in the National Basketball Association is 4.8 years. Not very long, is it? For those guys that have worked so long to go pro and they finally get to go pro, most of them only make it 5 years or less. And in baseball, it's a little longer, 5.6 years. Now, I bring all that up. You say, why does that have to do anything with this lesson, Josh? Because here's the thought that I want to give you. Those athletes and the players that are in those leagues now have to constantly be working on improving and maintaining their skills. Because they have a very short time and there's all kinds of young talent that are coming on strong to take their place. And so the guys who are in the baseball and NFL and basketball, they have to be working every day to maintain and improve. Because it's a very short life, and if they don't increase, they're going to be run over by others. Now, we don't have that attitude so many times as Christians. What I want to suggest to you is that we've got to adopt more of that attitude. Not that we're going to be replaced in 3 or 4 years, but rather that we need to be seeking to grow and intentionally seeking to grow. A baseball player, basketball, or football player, they look at their stats and they say, all right, here's my stats and I need to improve in this area. And if I'm going to make it in the majors, if I'm going to stay in the majors, I've got to get better with this. So they spend the offseason working and practicing. And we've talked about four things this morning. We've talked about our love, our purity, our fruits, and our hope. These are all things that you know and you've heard sermons on. But I want to challenge you as you leave to think about it like this. What intentional difference are you going to try to make to be greater in those things? Paul says, I want you to abound more and more. I want you to, he's praying that they'll have these things. We need to increase in these things. We cannot just be complacent. We have to try to do better. Try to do better. So how are you going to do better? My gift for you and for myself is that we can have greater love, greater purity, greater fruits, and greater hope next year than we do now, this year at Christmas. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you want to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing.